This thing had me on mute the whole time. I know y'all sitting here like, ain't nobody going to talk. We are excited to have you as part of our studio audience here at Blog Talk Radio. This is the Brothers Podcast. I am your host, Andre Harris, with me all the way from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by way of Detroit, Michigan, none other than Javon Bertrand. Are you on, Javon? All right, I'm getting word that they are getting signed in as we speak. So as they come on, we're going to definitely make sure we introduce them correctly. We don't want y'all to go nowhere. Listen, we definitely apologize for the technical difficulties. Y'all know how the internet works, but we're going to make this thing work, and this thing is going to be dynamic once we get kicked off. We thank you so much for tuning in to the Brothers Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Andre Harris, all the way from Wilmington, Delaware, the host with the most. Y'all know we like to have a ball. This ain't our first time on Blog Talk together. Y'all remember me? I hope y'all do, because I remember you and I miss each and every one of you. I wait for this season of this show. We are promising you a great season. Once again, we'll be coming to your airwaves live every single other week, every other Tuesday, starting with today's show, and the next show after today will be on Tuesday, October the 18th. And we are just so excited to have you on this show and to have you a part of this show and to sharing with us. We're going to make sure that we announce to you guys when we make it live to Apple Podcasts and iHeart Radio Podcast. But we are excited to have you guys a part of our show on today. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll be talking about love. Can love really exist in an open or a polyamorous relationship? We got some great hot topics for you guys, and we're really just going to flow how we flow. Like, we are going to have you laughing. We're going to have you thinking. We're going to have you asking yourself, does that really make sense? But all in all that we do, we're going to make sure that you enjoy yourself with me. And I see that coming into the studio all the way from Hypeville, Maryland. That's all the way down near our nation's capital. We have our co-host with us, Maurice Stevenson. Maurice, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people?
This is going to be an interesting show as we await Javon to jump on board, which we are waiting on the doctor to jump in. But I was just sharing with our listening audience the excitement we have about coming to Blog Talk Radio and this being our first episode of the Brothers Podcast. What mostly are you excited about, Maurice?
I'm excited with working with some very down-to-earth people, but hearing the feedback and getting people's responses and listening to our viewers, that's what I'm excited about.
Awesome. By way, Philadelphia, by way of Detroit is in the building. Our co-host is on, our third amigo to this trio, none other than our own doctor of the building, Javon Bertrand's in the building. Say what's up, doctor.
What's up, people?
We are excited to have each and every one of you here. Doctor, what you excited about when it comes to the show this season?
I'm excited just to have real conversation. Let's start some dialogue. Let's take it to the max. Let's do it big. Let's make it real.
I know that's right. Well, since we're making it big, we're making it real, let's go to this good hot topic that we like to call What the Hell We were sitting here just, you know, going through different hot topics this week. I want to kick right into it and see what you guys are thinking about this. Let's start first with the backlash that Kim Burrell is taking after appearing on the Tamron Hall show. As we all know, Kim Burrell was recently on Tamron Hall, and she started doing some name dropping and saying how she felt a little disappointed in the way that the gospel community received her after she took the first hit. Or the second hit, or the third hit, might have been the fourth hit. I don't know. Kim get hit like every week, but I'm just saying. You know, what do y'all think about that? How do y'all feel about that?
I think that it was the bit that I saw. It just looked like a hurt person trying to respond to a situation that they never got a chance to actually talk about the way it happened. So it happened publicly, but there was no space for her to talk publicly. And she utilized this one moment to speak right, wrong, or indifferent about what she felt or what she thought should have happened from the people around her. I'm not saying I agree with her. I'm not saying I disagree with her. It just looked like somebody trying to express themselves when they didn't have a chance any other time.
All right. Maurice, what you thinking?
I think that, again, poor Kim. Poor Kim. I feel like she's just in this place of, I have to express myself. I have to say what I have to say. If you want people to rally around you, call them. Tell them how you feel. This should have been a phone call to Yolanda, a phone call to Kirka, a phone call to these people who she felt have this, you know, kicked her to the curb or done, you know, say that to them. Call them. These are your friends. These are the people that you claim you trust. So I would have called them instead of putting them out there like that on national TV. Because remember, in the clip, she says, I'm not going to drop names. And then all of a sudden, she drops names. Like, this could have been a phone call to your sister. That could have went a little differently. I don't think she was trying to be messy, but I think Bertrand said, I think she's just trying to figure her way out of all of this. And, you know, name dropping, yeah, not so much.
But was it the right time to the right atmosphere to really drop names or to even express, like, how? Because if you remember the clip, Tamron had kind of really wanted her to really just speak on her behalf. So for me, what did the gospel industry and all the people that you associate with, like, what did they really have to do with you explaining yourself? Like, does that make sense to you?
I get that. I understand that. I won't disagree. But again, when you're hurt, you don't always think about the timing of a thing. When you're in a complex thought about what's happening to you or around you or because of you, when you get a moment to speak, you don't care about all of that stuff. You just let it all out. It's like a pop bottle or a soda can that's been shaken up. When you open it, it has to release. There's nowhere for it to go. It's just all going to come out.
Well, I just think that it maybe wasn't the right time. Again, these are people that she's colleagues and friends with outside of being on the stage. So it could have been a phone call to express her feelings. I don't think it was the right time because it should have just been centered on her work. Again, it was centered on her. So I guess, hey, that's my time. I'll center it on this.
I heard that. So as you all know, the new Black Panther Wakanda Forever movie is coming out with where Queen Ramonda, Shuri, and M'Baku, and Okoye, and a lot of other folk that names I'm not even going to try to sit here and pronounce, fight to protect their nation from intervening world powers in the wake of King T'Challa's death. As the Wakandians or the Wakandans strive to embrace their next chapter, the heroes must band together with Nakia and Everett Ross to forge a new path for their beloved kingdom. In your eyes, what's going to make this movie the hottest thing this year?
If Shuri becomes the Black Panther, of course, I'm a big comic book fan. So I do know that Shuri, at one point, she does become the Black Panther. Of course, it would be right. She's the princess. She was the next ruler or heir to the Wakandian throne. So, and in the action, I feel like is the action going to be like the first one? Because I love the first Black Panther. So I'm excited to see if the action is still intact and the storyline. Of course, you know, with seeing people of color in movies and they're leading the cast, that is the one pinnacle for me, is seeing people of color in that industry leading a cast. And if you know anything, the first movie made over $1 billion.
Yes. All right. Dr. Dre, what's your thoughts on this movie?
Well, if yesterday was any indication, pre-sales started yesterday and theaters are already selling out and the movie is still 5 or 6 weeks away. So it's going to be amazing because of the camaraderie that it's building. People are coming together. They're going together. Families are going together. It's going to give us talking pieces, because I am one not a comic book fan. I didn't know anything about Black Panther before the first movie. So when I went to see it, it was amazing to see all of the people that were present and how many families came together and friend groups and coworkers and so forth and so on. So it's going to be big because we're going to make it big, because we want it to be big, because we're putting in the effort to make it big.
Absolutely. I'm just amazed at the excitement. Everybody who knows us knows all of us are, in one way or another, educators. I'm in an elementary setting, and I'm just excited to see the faces of these young people light up to be able to see this movie and to be able to be a part of this culture. When we're in a time of where a lot of the stuff we are young people to be witness to is negative, to have a positive come and just take the whole limelight, to me, this is like the most fulfilling thing as an older, or not even older, but as a younger adult. I just feel like this is something that is going to be off the chain. I'm excited. Because I really thought that once Chadwick had passed, they weren't going to do another Black Panther. And then when they started having all of the issues with COVID and the actors and actresses, I was like, oh, come on, y'all, let's get this thing to work out, you know, in our favor. So now to see them actually turn it around and to drop this movie, I'm excited. I'm working on getting tickets myself, so I'm hoping I can get my tickets. So we are definitely excited. Speaking of excitement, Kiki Palmer is stepping further into her purpose, announcing on September the 30th, which is this past Friday, the launch of her new digital television network. KTV is a network started by the 29-year-old actress, opening doors for a new generation of creators. Now, anybody who knows Kiki Palmer knows her from a host of different things, from hosting from being a talk show host as a step-in, I believe, a fill-in on a couple of different things, working with Michael Strahan, and then even from when she got started into television and film with Akilah and the Bee and Hustlers and Scream Queens, and she did her voice role for Lightyear, and now she's with Strahan, Sarah, and Kiki, and she's just been doing the damn thing on TV for the sisters. I'm just excited for Kiki Palmer. I'm excited for this personally, because I would love to see how the mindsets of new creators think. especially in the time where we're in a huge TikTok era, and most people who are creators feel like this is the only way I can really show my creativity. I'm excited to see the young people she brings to the big screen to allow them to showcase who they are and really allow them to make a name for themselves in television. We're going to start with Dr. J on this subject. How do you feel about Kiki?
This is amazing. This is something I've been talking about for years, that we needed some fresh blood, some fresh eyes, some fresh ears, so that we wouldn't be encapsulated in repeating the same things over and over again. How many times have you looked at a movie or a TV show and said, I've seen this before? Well, we got to get some people that are not in the system to affect the system, so that they're not repeating what's already been done. So I'm excited to see what's going to come forth. I'm excited for Kiki taking this step to open doors for other people, because that's something we don't see a lot. We tend to see people walking through the same doors over and over again. But I'm excited to see who's going to come forth, what's going to come forth. I'm excited that there's going to be new music, there's going to be new acting, there's going to be new writing. Because one thing that bothers me as a writer, if you have the ability to change the story, why tell the story the same? If you have the ability to change the narrative, why keep it negative when you can make it positive? You can affect change by changing the narrative that people see. And I'm hoping that people come forth that are able to do just that.
Absolutely. Maurice?
I'm proud of Kiki. This is a step out of her maybe what's out of her comfort zone. I agree with Dr. Bertrand, because I feel like it's a lot of TV shows and movies and that we're doing a lot of reboots, but not a lot of fresh stuff. And if it is fresh, it kind of doesn't last long. And giving someone else another chance to open doors for other creators. And I love Tyler Perry, but I'm glad to see someone else in the game, you know, trying to give people a chance. So I'm excited to see where this goes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are excited for you, Kiki. And anytime you want to come and chat with the brothers, just know that the door is open for you. We will host you on the show and allow you to share your views on your show, because I'm sure enough going to tag you up in this. So we are excited. And some sad news. We all know on this past Wednesday, Fantastic Voyage and Gangsta's Paradise rapper Coolio passed away at the age of 59. And they said that they tried resuscitation for about 45 minutes, but they weren't able to resuscitate him. And he was pronounced right just before 5 p.m. Many people have commented since Wednesday. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram has all been lit up by many people who have worked with Coolio, everybody from Keenan and Kale to Lou Diamond Phillips to Matt Bonner have all spoke on the time that they were able to spend with this awesome creator and producer and rapper who really paved the way in the 80s and more in particular in the 90s. Even with his own Gangsta's Paradise, which was the soundtrack of Dangerous Minds in 96. He actually won a Grammy for that song. You know, what do you remember most about Coolio?
For me, it's Dangerous Minds. I didn't know watching the movie who it was, but after, you know, sometime it came out who it was, and it was like, oh, I wasn't really into rap, but that particular song was one that had impact on me. So I remember him from that particular song. And you know, praying for his family and his children. It came out that he has possibly 11 children, so we hope that they all are able to grieve properly and able to process through this time. But again, we've lost another creator, another producer, and you know, sometimes you just don't know what to say, but wow.
Absolutely.
I wasn't a big rap fan, or especially of Coolio's, but I felt like his music was wholesome. Again, when you lose someone as legendary as Coolio, you know, growing up listening to his music, or listening to songs or remembering rap, Gangsta's Paradise, it's very interesting to see those people that you grew up listening to or remember, you know, passing away. One thing that stands out to me, and this is going to sound kind of, but I remember when, what's his name? Hey, Weird Al Yankovic did a parody of that song,
yes.
Amish Paradise. I'm like, okay, this is a trick. I mean, you know, he's the king of parody. So I just found it quite interesting that that song was, you know, he found it in his heart to, you know, make it a parody. But also, you know, the impact and producing, and, you know, when you have someone like Coolio who was a main, was a producer, and, you know, it's hard to fathom in your mind that these people are passing away. When you, especially when you, you know, oh, I remember the song they created. So, just, you know, praying for his family, and, you know, especially hearing that it took them 45 minutes to try to revive him. Yeah. Just praying for his family and, you know, remembering his legacy.
Absolutely. Speaking of his legacy, Coolio has dropped over 17 million, has sold over 17 million records globally. And that's not just U.S., but even in countries like Africa, Israel, Russia, Japan, Thailand, Brazil, Australia, Turkey, throughout Europe. He served as the spokesperson for the Asthma and Allergies Foundation. So they're losing a huge impact to their foundation. He also contributed to movies such as Space Jam, Clueless, The Big Payback, Panther, New Jersey Drive, The Jerk Boys, Eddie, Half-Baked, and many more. And, of course, everybody remembers him for having the hair all over the place as he composed the theme for the TV show Kenan and Kale on Nickelodeon. This guy also did a music video for Dexter, what's his name, for Dexter's Laboratory, Homeboy Genius, the hip-hop experiment. Worked with artists such as De La Soul and Will.i.am. So he's not just, you know, a rapper, but he was also on the Cooking Network, and he worked on, he launched his cookbook, Cooking with Coolio, and five-star meals at a one-star price. He's done so much in the industry as a whole, one of the most respected brothers in the industry as a whole, and I am deeply saddened to hear of his passing such a young age, and I just really want to hope that as people, we begin to take our health more seriously. I'm not saying that he didn't, but I do hope that this teaches us why it is important for us to take our health so much more serious, especially heart issues, because that is the silent killer. And we really want to really keep his family in prayer. Speaking of people passing away in the music, one that has rocked the gospel scene is the passing of Keith Wonderboy Johnson, who also passed away. He was at the age of 50. His music label announced this in a statement. The singer and songwriter had been in the music industry for over 20 years after he launched his career with the release of his debut album, Through the Storm, and taking a look over at Keith Wonderboy Johnson's career. He was found deceased in his home on September the 30th. The statement added that an autopsy has been scheduled, but no cause of death has been confirmed at this time. I'm not sure anything has come since then. Everybody remembers Keith Wonderboy Johnson for his electrifying personality, and everybody has been talking about the man who has earned this nickname at the age of 5 and growing up listening and contributing with artists such as Marvin Winans, John P. Key, James Cleveland, and Harvey Watkins, who helped develop him as an artist. He has went on to release 14 albums throughout his music career, with 11 of them landing in the Billboard chart. He's a 6-time Stellar Award winner, nominated for 2 Dove Awards, and tributes have also been pouring out for Keith Wonderboy Johnson at the age of 50. How will this, in your eyes, I'll start with Maurice on this one, how will this, in your eyes, affect the gospel industry?
Well, again, we have another loss. I think that, of course, you know, when someone passes with that has made a major impact on God, on whatever genre they're in, we always look for someone to kind of come in and replace them. I don't think he'll ever be replaced, but definitely remember. One fact about the late Keith Wonderboy Johnson, he is a fellow student. He's a fellow Hawk. He attended the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, which is my alma mater. So he actually came, if I'm not mistaken, he came one year to one of our gospel choir concerts. So I don't think I got a chance to meet him, or I did, but it was so long ago, I just don't remember. And I think I actually met him again maybe a few years ago. So it's, you know, again, you know, it saddens me. He was only 50 years old. Again, just kind of, you know, hoping that, again, his 2 daughters will, you know, find comfort in their father's memory. But, you know, I think that we'll be looking for another Keith Wonderboy Johnson or someone very similar to him.
Definitely understand that. Dr. J.
Yes, sir. So I just think that, you know, because of his impact, especially in quartet music, there's going to be an attempt to find someone that's going to be able to do what he did. But the reality is sometimes your impact is just that. It's not something somebody can step in. It's just something that just literally is what it is. It can't be altered. It cannot be duplicated. And I believe Keith Wonderboy Johnson is one of those people that cannot be duplicated. His sound, his energy, his spirit are going to be missed.
Absolutely. He definitely knew how to command a stage, and he definitely knew how to usher in the spirit. His legacy that he leaves in the gospel industry will definitely be one that is hard to follow, and we send our prayers and our condolences not only to his family, but even to those who had to share the stage with him, his band, his background singers, his tour manager, his record label, the co-artists that are in the gospel industry. We definitely look forward to celebrating his life, but also commending his memory in the gospel industry. Well, that is all we have for our hot topics right now. We're going to turn this over to Maurice, and Maurice is going to introduce and lead us right into our main topic of the night.
Okay. Open and poly relationships. For some of us, you know, trying to find love or wanting to be in love, it seems to be the norm that relationships, you know, we want monogamy. We want that one person, but there are some people who believe that they want multiple people, or they want you to be in an open relationship where, you know, you can see who you want to see, I can see who I want to see, but when we're together, we kind of, we're the it couple. And poly relationship is me and my significant other and you and your significant other, and all of us are significant others. So so we want, that's what we want to talk about tonight. So I have a question. What is you all's idea of, how do you all feel about these relationships? Let's start with open relationships. Let's not even go to poly just yet, but let's just start with open relationships. What are you all's thoughts on open relationships? Do you think they work? Do you think they don't work? Are you willing to try one? I'm going to start with you, Dr. Harris. Okay.
All right. Dr. J, I'm sorry, what's your thoughts?
Do they work? Don't really know. I see open relationships not working, just like I see quote-unquote closed relationships now. Am I willing to try one? Hell no. No, and no, I'm not willing, because this is my thought in the whole spectrum of the open and the poly. At some point, somebody's going to have more of your attention than the other, and that could cause a huge problem. Especially when those relationships intertwine, could it work? It works for people that want it to work. I personally don't want it to work for me, so I'm not going to try.
I'm with you on that. This is my point of view with it. Y'all being nice. I don't understand the concept of why people even think it would work. Let me just be 100%. Like Dr. J said, there is going to be somebody who's getting more time than the other. Sharing is impossible. I'm stingy. I'm like genuine. You know, you can say I'm stingy. I'm not even going to try to hide it. I'm just going to tell you up front, this ain't going to work. You know, when you now introducing, number one, I don't feel like if I'm with you, there should be a need for somebody else. And I see this more and more nowadays more than ever, where one side of the polyamorous relationship is a opposite sex relationship, you know, either, you know, a male and a female. And then the other side of the polyamorous relationship is a same gender relationship. There, I have been seeing this more now than ever. I have been seeing where one guy may have two women, or one woman may have two men. What I don't understand in these relationships is how nobody feels like a side piece. One of y'all, I don't mean to break your heart, but one of y'all is a side piece. Let's just be real. I don't want to hear, oh, it works for me. That you really didn't want to be in a relationship to begin with, but you're committing yourself to just having one sex partner who got an extra sex partner, versus you saying, you know, I'm just going to do me until I find the right person. You committed yourself to being somebody else's side piece because they're not getting what they need and in their home atmosphere. So now they done brought you into the picture. And what really boggles me is it's fools out here who's okay with this. Like, I don't want no parts, but I'm going to talk about it. Because what I don't understand is you're getting this thing, and then as soon as you get hurt, it's like, oh, I feel stupid. You are. So I just don't understand how they expect it to work. I mean, you know, this to me is a good kickoff discussion. Would I be in a poly relationship? Nah, pineapple. I wouldn't be in a poly relationship or open relationship or a closed relationship. Listen, if it's more than one person, I don't want no parts. No parts whatsoever.
So I'm hearing what you guys are saying. I'm not gonna play. I want to play a little bit of devil's advocate for just 1 second. I don't really want to say what people are feeling, but for some people, open works for them. Like you said, you may not understand it because somebody may feel like, for us, yeah, someone feels like the side. For us, it's like you're the side piece. Somebody's the side piece, and it works for them. For some people, it works for them because they feel like in a poly relationship that they have all this love to give, and but they just don't want to just give it to just one person. They don't want to be giving themselves to just one person. They want options. They want to be able to say, I date this person. And then, like you said, based on, it could be polyamorous could mean, like, I'm dating a man, I'm dating a woman, I'm dating someone transgender, I'm dating someone non-binary. So it's just more than just my love is restricted to one gender. It also is restricted to others. So hearing this is quite interesting, but I really would like for us to kind of, I wish we had someone on that is in an open relationship and a poly relationship. So I think we should do this topic again, definitely, and invite some people on and get their views. Because I feel like we are, you know, again, you said you guys wouldn't do it. Again, I don't think I'm open to an open relationship, being someone that's been single for so long. I think for me, it's just the hardness of trying to find one person. Now I gotta deal with somebody else, and I gotta learn all their, I gotta learn all the stuff about them. And I think that's the one thing why I wouldn't be in an open or a polyamorous relationship, because I have to learn. I'm already trying to learn one person and their behavior and their likes and dislikes, and now I gotta learn somebody else's. And I gotta learn somebody else's stuff. For me, it's just too much.
No, the thing, you wouldn't have to learn it, because at the end of the day, they don't really matter anyway. They just decide.
And then attention, like, how do you focus on one? How do you focus on multiple people? Can I be honest with y'all? I never understood that, even with cheating, like when you cheat on someone, how do you? I'm in a relationship with someone, but you're cheating on someone with someone else, and then you gotta focus on the person you're with and the person you're cheating with. Like, but I feel like those are open and polyamorous relationships because people were cheating on people anyway. So I feel like those are open relationships. How I don't understand people who do that. Like, it's just too much to kind of handle. Like, yeah, come see me at midnight. Come see me at midnight. Me and my girl, or me and my boo, we doing this, and we doing, okay, I'll see you after. How do we work? How do we continue? I think a more continuous conversation we need to have is the more open relationships and dealing with cheating and stepping out on the person that you say you want to be with for the rest of your life. I think we need to have an open dialogue about that, because I feel like where people have been in open and poly relationships forever, but we call it cheating. We call it side.
Hoeing.
You said what?
Hoeing.
Hoeing. Yeah, so I feel like we've been doing this forever. We've seen it. We've had uncles and aunties and grandmas and grandpas with side pieces, with and they were with these people for years. You know, you got that one uncle or auntie that they've been with that same man for a year. They've been with that one man for years, and they got children by her. but they always have another one.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
You know, I feel like
to me, it's like if having your cake and pie too was a picture, it would be someone in a poly relationship. I feel like to me, this started like back in the day when your mama didn't want you to really know she was having relations with the dude she'd bring to your house, so she introduced him as uncle all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is Uncle Jimmy, but Uncle Jimmy stayed in mommy's room last night. Like, you know, I feel like this is why there's so much backwardness in relationship, because number one, if I'm with you, especially if we married, and you say there's a need for an open relationship, the first thing that comes to my mind is, how damaged is my self-esteem that I'm going to be like, that sounds good to me? So, mm-hmm. So I feel like we need to really, really, like, I feel like we need to really investigate the self-esteem of people, because I feel like it's like these are people who really believe that they will never find true happiness anyway, or that true love really don't exist for them anyway. And I'm really open to having people on the show that have been, you know, in this type of relationship, or even considering this type of relationship. But I just don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't want to try to understand it. I just feel like this is crazy. Like, I would, if that's the case, I'd rather us break up. Apparently, you need some time to yourself to sow your royal oats than to be in a relationship that you feel the need to say, let me in. I mean, you my baby, but this is my boo. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I'm not supposed to try to shoot both of y'all.
No, you know, like, that's not wise.
I'm with you at the end of each night. I'm sleeping next to you. But every day, I still make sure I go see her.
But can I throw a I hear what you're saying, but add this?
But that's
definitely like, if you think about, just think about this, and just think about what I just said earlier about generations of uncles who had the wife, but he also had the girlfriend. Or he had one girlfriend that he'd been with forever, but then he met Shorty over here, and Shorty over here was different than the current girlfriend, and he was dating her as well. So I think that what we're seeing with
these... Is this not the reason Al Green got grit thrown on him?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I think what we're seeing is people, instead of hiding the grit, the, you know, the right. fact that you're going to get hot grit thrown on you, we're more open and discussing it. So
right.
you won't get hot grit thrown on you.
But it's not just the open and discussing part, because it's the fact that you expect me to accept it. That's the part for me. You're still going to get some hot grit thrown on you. As soon as I don't get my way, some way, somehow, you will feel the pain of these grits sticking.
Yeah, I've seen different videos and TikToks about people in these types of relationships. And actually, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I saw one where there was a man and a woman in a polyamorous relationship, but she cheated on him with one of his friends who had a girlfriend, and they were in a polyamorous relationship. So two relationships were broke up, but I was confused at how the cheating happened in the polyamorous relationship. But from my understanding, from the things that I've seen, I've not done extensive research, just things I've seen,
mm-hmm.
they set boundaries and protocols on what
mm-hmm.
it is for their relationship, so
right.
they deter- going in, what it looks like, what it don't look like, what I will accept, what I won't accept.
Right.
And that sounds well and good until the one they want is somebody close to you, or the one they want is a family member, or the one they want is somebody you want.
Mm-hmm.
It can get real thick From some of the things that I've seen, they go to counseling, even work it out in counseling and all of that. It just seems like a whole lot of everybody is not self-sufficient, so they're not, they also don't know what it is to be sufficient in a relationship. So I don't like this one thing about you, so I'm going to go find the opposite in somebody else. Because usually from what the few things that I've seen, the if they have two mates or two spouses, they're totally opposite. Which is interesting to see, but I'm still unwilling to try.
Well, this thing sounds like a house full of pimps. I'm with you because
not a house full of pimps.
I'm with you because you pay the bills, but I'm with her because she sexed me good. What? No.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, again,
Sheila needs to see.
If we look at it, these relationships, whether polyamorous, open, have been going on in all of our lives. At some point,
correct,
we had these things, but we just chalked it up to he's stepping out on me. He's stepping out with Sharon down the corner. He come home to me because he know I'm gonna take care of him. But he go to Sharon because her sex good. We have seen them, but we just never addressed them for what they were. They were. We knew Miss Sharon was cheating with Uncle Paul for years.
Right. And now that it's romanticized, it's on TV, that there's whole TV shows about sister wives, but now we're seeing that even in the sister wives, it don't work because now they're starting to get divorces, and now they're trying to figure out how to do all of this. How are we going to work out property? How are we going to work out custody? Because all of us are involved in this now. It's not just one. It's 16 of us.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
You know, so we've gone from things that we knew about people cheating and not having a name for it. See, that's the thing. We're in a time where everything has a name. Before it was JoJo married, but we know he's dating old girl. He's just doing what he do. Now it's open relationships or polyamorous or this or that, and it's marketable. It makes money, even if it's at the detriment of people's psyche, we're going to put it on TV and we're going to, quote unquote, work it out and talk it out. And no, at the end of the day, these people have PTSD. They're emotionally wrecked because not only did I go through this, I went through it on national TV. And people that don't know me are now able to insert themselves and insert their judgments and their opinions on what it is that I do and what I say, and I have to deal with all of that.
So
it's a lot.
It's a lot. I think one of the things that would be interesting for our listeners, if we brought two people on, one in an open relationship and one in a poly relationship, so that we can have the both spectrums. Even though, you know, I think that these conversations are important to have because, again, we've seen them. I mean, we've seen them in our own families. But to, like Dr. Bertrand said, a lot of them, we're dressing it up. Where it's more marketable, like he said, like the show Sister Wives, you know, and we know that in Utah, we know that you can have multiple wives. and within the Mormon faith. We know there's a whole faith that promotes multiple wives, having multiple spouses. So I think the more, I think this would be interesting, a longer show. We can do a part two to this show and invite some guests on.
Let me ask you this, Stevenson. What happens if you come home and the one you pay all bills and give good like baby face say, Stevenson, I feel the need to have me another person.
My thing is, if that's your choice, then that's your choice, but I'm not, that's not my thing. So if that's your decision, then go, you get your little stuff together. Yeah, I mean, because it's not my thing. Just because it's not my thing, I'm not interested in. Again, I told you, I have an issue with keeping up with what I'm already trying to keep up with. So I don't have time to try to keep up with everybody and everything. So you enjoy yourself. you enjoy yourself. Yeah, you enjoy yourself with that. But I hear what you two are saying. I just find it, I'm just fascinated. I'm fascinated by these type of relationships, but I'm more fascinated in the emotions of it all, because I think it's very emotional for some people. But I also want to hear the flip side of one that didn't work, like why it didn't work and why it didn't, you know, why the person felt it didn't work, because I feel like we need to hear all sides. Like for some people it works. Right. For some people, it didn't work because maybe I was in a particular mind frame when it was offered to me and I wasn't just there. So, yeah. Okay, we have a few minutes left. We have about 5 minutes left. What's going to be our next topic? I'm excited. Like, tonight has been a fabulous show. I've enjoyed this conversation. I would like for us to have talked about it a little longer, but I just, yeah.
Fabulous well, you know, the show can go as long as you want it to go, boo-boo.
No, I'm out because I'm not an expert on this. I feel like we need, you know, we could talk a little longer, but it would be cool. I think our listeners would love to hear people come in.
So what I'm saying, listeners, is if you are in a poly relationship, reach
or
out
open.
To us on, or an open relationship, reach out to us on Facebook. Reach out to us on Facebook and give us, like, reach out to us on Facebook on Friday, because that's when the Facebook page dropped, facebook.com/brotherspodcast media. Reach out to us on Facebook. Let us know you want to be on the show. We will make time on the next show for you to discuss your foolishness. I mean, your relationship. and be ye also ready for questions. And speaking of which, anytime you're listening to this show and you have questions, call us on the hotline, 319-527-6083. That's 319-527-6083. That's always the way to jump on air with us. I'm excited, as Maurice is saying, for the show. You know, with our crazy schedules, we've been trying to do this for a minute. So I'm just excited that it's now kicked off, and I'm excited to see where this goes. You know, I'm trying to take this thing to YouTube personally. And even to major network, because they need Kiki Palmer, Kiki, you need the brothers on your network. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
We will host the talk show, girl, Kiki. But I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited that we were able to do this. Our next show is October the 18th. October the 18th is our next show, and the topic of discussion will be
What is Brotherhood? What is Brotherhood? And that's going to be led by Dr. J. So I'm excited at that for October the 18th. Mark your calendars. Come back and listen to us again. Join us next time. Bring a friend with you. Invite somebody. Share the link of blogtalkradio.com/The Brothers Podcast. Share the link on your Facebook page, your social media, as we will also. And when they come on board, they'll be able to listen to this week's podcast. Once again, like I said, we are slowly but surely going to make our way into Apple Nation. We are going to slowly but surely make our way into iHeartRadio. I'm going to try to hit every major network for podcasting we can hit, because we feel like we got some stuff, and I'm set that so nice that you need to hear. So we are excited. We want you guys to come back again and to join us. I promise you, on next week we will debut, or next show we would debut our song for the show, or our intro for the show. And really just get more involved with you guys. Once again, to the family of Coolio, to Keith Wonderboy Johnson's family, to everybody who has passed away, we send our condolences, our love, and our support, and our prayers. We pray that their memory be a blessing into your life, and that their legacy be a mantle into your livelihood. And we pray that you guys have enjoyed this show. This ain't church. This is the brotherhood.
Not at all.
We are just real talk, real discussion, and we like to have some fun. So if you was in a poly relationship, open relationship, hit us up. KK, hit us up, girl, because I said I'm going to tag you in this. I promise you I will. And we just look forward to much, much success of this show. We will see you guys on Tuesday, October the
18th,
7:30, and it's going to be right here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/The Brotherhood. It's your boy, Andre Harris. It's my co-captain, Maurice Stevenson. It's our co-captain, Dr. J. Javon Bertrand, and we are the brothers, and this is the Brothers Podcast. Signing off. See ya.
Good night.